You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. The German government has signed off on a number of measures aimed at reducing the country's gas consumption by 2%. It follows a large drop in the supply of Russian gas. Among the measures suggested is switching off outdoor lighting on monuments, heating public buildings to a maximum of 19 degrees, and plans to ban the heating of private swimming pools. For more on this, we're joined by German correspondent Thomas Sparrow. At first glance, Thomas, 2% seems like an insignificant number.
It is a bit of a small number, but it comes as a part of a bigger project. It's called here in Germany as a national effort to cut energy consumption and to diversify energy sources as well. So this cannot be seen as just one idea that came from the German government, but rather as part of a wider project that has been going on basically since the war in Ukraine started. The German government in particular has been trying all sorts of different things to cut its dependence on Russian gas, in particular what's being described here in Germany as sort of shopping list, traveling around the world to diversify energy sources, to make deals with other countries. And that comes hand in hand with trying to reduce consumption at home. And that explains why only this week the federal government announced those decisions, basically telling businesses and telling households that they need to also cut consumption. Before this, it had been done mostly by cities or by regions specifically, but now this decision really comes from the federal government here in Berlin.
You mentioned that shopping list, particularly trying to source energy from other countries. How successful have they been?
Well, it has been successful, not as successful as maybe the government would want, because they want to cut that dependence from Russian gas. But they basically have managed to reduce that dependence considerably. I was just looking, for example, at the statistics of where Germany gets its gas from. And if you look, for example, April 2022, around 35% came from Russia. If you look at July 2022, that was down to 10%. That doesn't mean that it will remain at 10%, but it means that Germany has, in the meantime, found alternatives, for example, by getting natural gas from the Netherlands, even a small part from Belgium, from other countries as well. The Chancellor just very recently was in Canada, signed an agreement there with the Canadian government that not related necessarily with gas, but with green hydrogen, with LNG. So basically, the German government has been traveling to different parts of the world to try and sign agreements that could help Germany diversify its energy sources.
And at the same time, there has been an analysis of further domestic production, whether that be coal, whether that be nuclear. How significant a contribution is that expected to make?
Politically, it's a very significant contribution. It means a U-turn in Germany. Germany was planning to get rid of coal-fired production. It had already decided, actually, to get rid of nuclear-powered production as well. It hasn't decided yet completely whether they will restart the three remaining nuclear power plants in Germany. That depends on a so-called stress test that's going to be decided on in the next few days or even weeks. But the first coal-powered fire plants have indeed started to work here in Germany. It is seen again as a small contribution to a bigger process. So it won't change things dramatically just by turning on that one plant or by deciding whether to restart nuclear powered plants, but it is seen as a part, as a sort of part of a bigger process where Germany could cut dependence on one specific country or on one specific source.
And Thomas, what's the expectation in respect of compliance? Because whatever about public buildings, things like private swimming pools, that's up to the individual citizen to decide if they want to do it.
That's absolutely correct. They ought to do it. And that's why the decision came from the federal government. The compliance rules or compliance will then be ultimately down to local governments, to regional governments. But that's why the government, the federal government in particular, but also city governments have been deciding on measures that they can in their power decide on. For example, public buildings, reducing the temperature there, or not allowing too much of warm water use in those public buildings, or making sure that businesses in particular keep their door closed if they use air conditioning, those kinds of things. Basically, that is something that can be more easily monitored than telling people not to use their swimming pools. Well, they won't be using their swimming pools in winter, that's another matter. But in general, basically, it's been described as an effort that starts with the federal government, that continues with regional and local governments, but where ultimately households and businesses have to play their part as well.
Thomas, thank you very much for that report. That's Thomas Sparrow, a German correspondent. We're joined as well by Aoife Foley, who is Professor of Energy Systems Engineering at Queen's University Belfast. This is obviously an emergency measure done in response to an energy crisis, Aoife, but are there elements of the approach that would be a good idea as a general principle, and are there elements of the approach that we should be adopting?
Yeah, Anton, I mean, what they're doing in Germany is a great plan, and I think really we have to be following suit. I know, you know, a number of experts have said we won't have a gas supply issue because our gas comes from the UK, but people seem to forget that actually gas supplies, storage in the UK since the closure of the Rough storage plant, our facility owned by Centrica in 2017, means that the UK has followed a just-in-time approach to gas procurement. That then has a knock-on effect on gas wholesale prices and then electricity wholesale prices. So the Commission for Energy Regulator already has come out and forecasted that prices will be €340 a megawatt hour in 2022-23. So if we look back to 2019, that was €50 a megawatt hour was the average price. Now, you would have some maybe high price spikes for different issues, maybe €290 or €320 a megawatt hour. But the average price now is sitting at €267 a megawatt hour. Now, the national balancing point in the UK, that trades into the European Intercontinental Exchange, which is the ICE Futures Europe. So any price spikes or price impacts will be passed along the line to us. And you were talking earlier to Councillor Mannix Flynn. He was on about waste. The taxi prices are going up. All of these things tie into each other because it relates to supply. So if gas supplies decrease, there's an increased demand for other oil products, so kerosene, diesel oil, because you can burn those in some gas stations and gas plants. So It knocks on everything, so food, taxis, transport, electricity and gas. So, like, I mean, to be quite honest, I think the government, and I'd say this to Minister Eamon Ryan and the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, and the Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, that we need to really form an emergency energy committee at this stage. We need to look at our coal supplies, our diesel oil supplies, kerosene supplies. I'd even actually look at ESB, air grid transmission costs. They come to around €500 million a year. Maybe, you know, we should perhaps look at foregoing those costs because there's also ancillary services costs for the integration of wind that are passed on to certain suppliers. We need to sort of look at those costs and how they're framed in this year.
And can I ask
how that cost is passed
forward? What about the energy mix? Because one of the things that we have been trying to do over the last number of years and decades has been to migrate from carbon inefficient forms of energy production to more carbon efficient. So moving to renewables from peat, from coal, from oil burning plants, from all of those. At this point, do we need to abandon that project because of real politic and get back into coal and peat and oil burning?
Oh, well, to be quite honest, this is like a sort of a COVID event, really, in essence. Now, we knew it was coming for a while. Even it was before the Ukraine happened. There were gas issues, okay? There's a capacity supply issue. And we saw that with the auctions. So this year in January and February, the capacity market that we operate in Ireland, you know, typically in previous years, that would have been around maybe 40,000, 50,000 from fossil fuel generators per megawatt hour euros. That actually tripled. It's about 140,000, 150,000 euros per megawatt hour. Now, what that means is, you see, to lenders in the market who give funds and money to gas generating companies or fossil fuel users, generators, it's a risk. And that risk is due to the fact that we're locked into carbon, but we want to shift to renewables. So that shift to renewables comes at a cost. And underwriters like AIG, Zurich, they push up then the charges. So when they're doing their cash flows and the balance sheet to work out whether this is commercially viable into the future because of the shift, the large shift to renewables, they say to themselves, well, actually, this is a risk, so they must pay more money to borrow the money. And then that hit the market. So energy prices actually were going to go up. We use about maybe 40, 50% gas generation at the moment in the electricity sector. About 700,000 homes are fueled from gas. So we can do things like they do in Germany, set your thermostat lower. You know, in Dublin City Council there, the street lighting for Christmas, I know it's going ahead. It's 5 kilometres of lighting approximately. Maybe we could switch on, you know, half that. You know, if you go up Grafton Street, I lived in Dublin for years, you just need to, you know, if we reduce the number of LED strings across the street, you could hit your energy consumption there by 50%. I know it's not a large thing, but it sort of sends out a message to the public in general. You know, we've missed the boat with the LNG terminal. It will take too long. New Fortress Energy, the American company who's developing that, they have to go back for planning permission. I know that ESB is looking with Decarbonex, you know, Tony O'Reilly's company. He was formerly in Providence Resources at the Kinsale gas field for hydrogen. But again, that's long term down the road. We know that we're going to move to wind. We know after the summer hot spell, solar PV is complementary to wind. John Mullins, the former CEO of Bord Gáis Éireann, he's leading up a company that's rolling out solar PV in Ireland.
Although, as you say, all of that is well and good, but it is at least medium term and possibly long term, and we need effectively some kind of solution to the way these prices are going by December.
We need a committee like we had the COVID committee.
Well, it'll be interesting.
We're in an emergency situation and we really need to look at it because everything is going to maybe go up 20-30% based on my estimates at the moment.
It'll be interesting to see how government responds to that. Eva, thank you very much for coming on this morning. That is Eva Foley. And forgive us, time is slightly against us just because it's a small piece of breaking news, which is that Merseyside police say a 36-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of the murder of 9-year-old Olivia Pratt-Corbell in Liverpool. And obviously, as more news emerges on that, we'll bring it to you. Thanks again to Aoife Foley, Professor of Energy Systems Engineering at Queen's University in Belfast. Coming up,
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.